But today, we hope as we start to look at the bruised Christ, that we can introduce Christ to us. In the passage that was read, we see that depiction of Jesus Christ being referred to as the one whose heel would be bruised. And in that, we start to get a picture of what Christ is and will be and will continue to be for us. In introducing Jesus Christ, I had a little conflict. How do we truly introduce Jesus Christ? Probably it's loose. Here. Okay. Right, I'm trying to get some instruction.
All right.
It's here. That will be better. Right, so I had this conflict. How do we truly introduce Jesus Christ? And not a poem, but a writing that is attributed to James Allen Francis came to mind. And a couple other things that we could use to introduce Jesus Christ. I couldn't quite settle on which one to use. So I thought I decided to use all three. That's all right. And I was trying to, I know it's in the songbook somewhere, but I couldn't find it in time, but I had found the words prior. And it speaks about the one solitary life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was a preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never lived in a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. When he was only 33, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. I am well within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is no normal person. He is man, yes, but the Son of God. And so, as we, for a few minutes, examine the bruised Christ, we are introduced to him in this way. But as lovely as that introduction of Jesus is, in my view, the account of the messianic prophet Isaiah says it well in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And as it were, even before Christ came on the scene in the flesh, that years before, the prophet Isaiah was introducing Jesus Christ to mankind. Starting in verse 6. For unto us
a child is born.
A child is born. Yes, he's introducing Jesus Christ to mankind. For unto us a child is born. In this embodies hope for a world dying. For unto us a child is born.
Unto us
a son, unto us
a son, is,
a son
given.
Is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
The government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called
so
Wonderful.
In introducing Jesus Christ, the prophet is saying, if I am to describe this person, if I'm to describe the Christ, then he is wonderful. He is full of wonder. Isn't it Jesus Christ who we saw performing miracles and doing the extraordinary, the supernatural? Yes, Jesus Christ, of whom we speak, is full of wonder. But not only is he wonderful, read.
Counselor.
He is counselor. So we are introduced to Jesus Christ. You know, when we think of counselors, you know, we think about persons who can give words of wisdom. And Jesus Christ, in fact, carries with him the words of eternal life. What beautiful words that comes through him. He is wise, wiser than all that ever lived. But not only is he full of wonder, not only is he counselor.
The mighty God.
He is the mighty God. So Jesus Christ is not taking anything away from anybody when he says he is God. Amen. He is man and he is mighty God. So we are introduced to Jesus Christ by the prophet Isaiah. There's a third person who introduced him, John. And we'll come back to John. But I sort of liked his introduction of Jesus Christ too. But as much as we are talking about Christ, and Christians, let us never, ever get tired of hearing about Jesus Christ. He is the central focus of what we are. We cannot claim to be Christians without acknowledging Christ. intertwined in the word Christian is, in a sense, we are little Christ. We are yearning to be like Christ. So forgive me if I am here speaking about Christ, because Christ is at the heart of who we are. We can never separate ourselves from Christ and say that we are Christians. And so here we have been introduced to Jesus Christ. But beyond Christ, I want us to examine the bruised Christ. From the very inception of sin, the very first occasion on earth where we see sin, there was a finger pointed to the bruised Christ. Because once sin came into the picture, we needed the bruised Christ to help us. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, well, from verse 14, you know, we see occasioned God in respect to man's sin. And in verse 14 it says,
"And the Lord God said unto the serpent,"
the Lord God said unto the serpent,
"because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle,
yes,
and above every beast of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel."
So here we are seeing that because of the sin of man, because God had placed man in the Garden of Eden, said, "Enjoy. Just one thing I ask of you, do not eat of the fruit of this tree." But Satan came into the picture. And what we see is, in the presence of this sin, that a pronouncement was made. Let's have verse 15 again.
"And I will put enmity between thee and the woman."
Yes.
"And between thy seed and her seed."
Yes.
"It shall bruise thy head."
And referring to Jesus Christ, through the line of the woman, there would be a seed, that's Jesus Christ. And he shall bruise thy head. Thy here referring to the devil, the serpent depicted. And so it would be that Jesus Christ, the seed, would crush. You know, some translation don't use the word bruise in respect to this. It will crush the head of Satan. "It shall bruise thy head,
and thou shalt bruise his heel."
And thou shalt bruise his heel. So while Satan will give a death blow, while Christ will give a death blow, while Christ will destroy utterly the devil, it is that because of the effect of the devil, Jesus Christ's heel would be bruised. And so from the very inception of sin in this world, we see evangelism already at play. We see reference to the gospel, to the saving power of God in Jesus Christ, giving that death blow to the devil. But not only that, but that in giving that death blow to the devil, he himself would be bruised. You know, jump up to verse 14 for me again. And hold it.
And the Lord God.
Hold it. What we are seeing here, that in the very presence of sin, that while God registered his displeasure with sin, they ate the fruit of the tree. And in the scheme of things, it might seem on the surface, just a fruit off a tree. You know, I remember years ago, some man had gone to the governor general's property and picked some ackee. And he was charged and imprisoned, I believe. I don't remember all the facts. And the public outcry was, just a pick of ackee? An ackee off a tree? But you see, when God gives an instruction, it's a big thing. And no matter how small a sin may seem to appear, the very fact that it goes in contradiction and transgress the will and command and instruction of God makes it a big deal. Scratch your head and say, my God, look at some of the terrible things that are happening in the world today. That looks small. But remember that sin separates man from God. Now, God registered his concern concerning sin. And so for us, we need always to recognize that sin, no matter how small or big, must be addressed. That we should never feel comfortable with sin in any shape or form. You know, poor Lot had a big dilemma. The men wanted to take the guest men from his house and to know them. Poor Lot saw this big dilemma and said, take my daughters instead. They are virgins. They don't know any men. They don't know man at all. Take them. That too is sin. And so sometimes we get into this dilemma where, because we start seeing some things as big sin, and start seeing some things as little sin, and some of these little sin, we start seeing them as virtue. You know, I'm not so bad doing this. But sin in the sight of God is sin. It displeases God. And no matter how small it is, we need to address it. Because sometimes it is not what we deem to be big sin that may take us to hell. But it's those wrong attitudes, it's those bad habits that we have that society sees as all right. My friends and my peers think it's all so cool. And so we need always to see sin as something to be addressed. God registered his displeasure with the sin committed. And in his verdicts, so to speak, he did not only pass judgment on Adam, the disobedient. He did not just pass a verdict on the woman, the deceived, but he also passed a verdict on Satan, the deceiver. And so in verse 14, it says,
"And the Lord God said unto the
serpent." And the Lord God said
unto the serpent.
To the serpent. So he's now, it's like they go through a court scene. And God finds out all the facts, although he knew already. And now he's going to be passing the judgment, the verdict, the guilty verdict and the charge and what the consequence would be. And so he says, "Serpent, you are the deceiver. If you come and change up that instruction, I said, don't eat, do not eat. And you go and deceive the woman and says, scratch that knot, eat." And because of that, the verdict was, because
thou hast done
because this. Thou hast done this.
Thou art cursed above all.
Thou things. Art cursed, Satan, serpent. You are cursed above all cattle.
And above every beast of the field.
Every beast of the field.
Upon thy belly.
Upon thy belly.
Shalt thou go.
So what we are seeing here is, in this depiction, Satan gets a verdict. On your belly you will crawl. It went on. And?
Thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Okay. Yeah, continue.
And I will put enmity.
In addition to that.
I will put enmity.
I will put enmity. And then he goes on to talk about the bruised Christ. I'm going to pause and come back. Let's jump to the woman in verse 16. So he has passed verdict on the serpent. Now the woman, the deceived.
Unto the woman he said.
Unto the woman he said.
I will greatly multiply.
I will greatly multiply.
Thy sorrow.
Thy sorrow.
And thy conception.
And thy conception.
In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children.
So when you get pregnant, when you are conceived with child, to bring forth the child into the world, and you know, we started off with that, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That sounds wonderful, but the ladies among us will probably tell us that delivering that child is not sorrow free. Nurse! Is a word I remember. Pause right there. So there will be pain in delivery. You're finished with 16. In sorrow,
thou shalt bring forth
children.
And thy desire.
And thy desire
shall be to thy husband.
Shall be to thy husband. And I don't know. I don't know why that is a is a punishment. All right, but let me quit while I'm ahead. And so, the point though, is that God did not smile upon sin. He executed judgment, not only on the deceiver and the deceived, but verse 17, he pointed his attention to man.
And unto Adam he said.
And unto Adam he said.
Because thou hast hearkened.
Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife.
And hast eaten.
Because thou hast been disobedient in the specific instruction that I gave to you. Because of that, I have found you guilty. And it will come with consequences. Read on.
And has eaten of the tree.
Because you have eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of.
Of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the
ground. Cursed is the ground.
For thy sake.
For your sake. You know, let us not mix it up. Adam, before he sinned, had responsibility to take care of the place. So God didn't put him in the garden and he was just idle. But because of what he had done in his disobedience, cursed was the ground. So when things would have been easy, it now becomes hard. Have you ever had a nice lawn, green and lush, looking well manicured and things? Then all of a sudden you see some weed. Then you see some patches burn out. Cursed is the ground. All kind of things happen. You have to dig and plow and weed out. Things just got hard. To the point now that by the sweat of his brow, he has to work harder to get things done. What's the point? In the presence of sin, action had to be taken. God does not play with sin. We should not play with sin. The church is not at luxury to play with sin. We cannot see wrong and turn our eyes from it. Because we recognize that sin will cause our demise if it is unrepented of. And so that is why we guide. That's why we point sin out. Not to say, look there, your sin. To make you feel bad. But it's to help you to get back on the right track. Because guess what? We have to encourage you in a spirit of humility, because none of us in the church is immune from sin. And so it is about the attitude that we take to sin. But let me make the point that even though God Almighty gave a guilty verdict and consequences to each of the persons involved in the sin. The deceived, the deceiver, the disobedient. Even though he did that, jump back now to verse 15. As specific as the consequence for each player, for each person, what we see is that beyond the verdict, beyond the consequence, don't miss this now, there was a place for the Christ. In dealing with sin properly and completely, as much as there were consequences to the sin, The consequence does not mean that the cure has been administered. Read verse 15 now.
And I will put enmity.
I will put enmity
between thee and the woman.
Between thee and the woman.
And between thy seed.
Between thy seed and her seed, referring to Jesus Christ.
It shall bruise thy head.
Satan. Head. I was getting that wrong a while ago. Satan's head will be bruised.
And
will be crushed by Jesus.
And thou shalt bruise his heel.
And thou, that's Satan now. Satan will bruise his heel. Do you get it? Even though there were consequences already done and given to the players, all three of them, there was still something that was needed. There was still something needed to deal with the sin problem. We needed Jesus Christ. We needed the bruised Christ to deal with our sin problem. Consequence of our action does not mean that we have dealt with the issue at heart. Amen. That is why, beyond repenting, using a little parallel, beyond repenting, we have to show fruits of repentance. I'm going to try to wrap up this aspect of the lesson. But where we want to go beyond this is that we are seeing in the very first occurrence of sin the need for the bruised Christ. Since then, when we scan inspiration, we will recognize that enough bird, a whole lot of birds, were killed. Enough cows, a whole lot of cows and sheep and goats were killed, were burnt, were sacrificed to deal with sin in sorts. But what we will recognize is that even though year upon year, time upon time, there were sacrifices made, blood and otherwise, that right through the ages, we were still waiting on the Christ. We were still waiting on the bruised Christ, because it is only the bruised Christ that could deal with our sin problem. Next week, if God is willing, as we continue the lesson, we will strive to look at some characters, what I would call special characters. David himself. He had something to say about the bruised Christ. Isaiah, the messianic prophet who helped us in our introduction earlier, he had much to say about the bruised Christ. Abraham, the friend of God, we see that he pointed and depicted the bruised Christ. What is the point? Right through the ages, as we sin, as man sin, that even though there were consequences, there were price paid for sin, that nothing was truly dealt with until Jesus Christ appeared, until Jesus Christ met his demise on the cross of Calvary, until Jesus Christ healed, was bruised by Satan on the cross of Calvary. But I'm getting into next week. Let us remember that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, we all need to benefit from the bruised Christ. We all need to recognize how dependent we are on the bruised Christ, that we should not forget ever about the bruised Christ. He was bruised for our sins, for our iniquity. I'm gone to next week. What's the song of encouragement, brother? 575. Let us be standing as we sing this song, and let us respond positively to the love, mercy, and grace of God, who has sent us, Jesus Christ.